Calculate exactly the extent of his influence, not only in our lives personally, but in the lives of the ministries of the church that we had the privilege to serve in. I attended numerous shepherds' conferences, and Bev, I know you folks have been out there as well. It's just a magnificent privilege. Mindy's been out there twice, and so it was a very sad day for us when we learned of his passing, but a glorious day as he was received to his eternal reward. Grace to You, which is the teaching ministry of John MacArthur, has featured, after his demise, his series that he did on heaven. And it was a several-part series, not new. He did it, I think, maybe 2007, 2010, been a while back, and then Grace to You, for those that have interest in that ministry, did send out John MacArthur's book entitled The Glories of Heaven. Up until I read that book, if anybody would have said anything about a book on heaven, what would you recommend? And I would still recommend Randy Alcorn's book on heaven. It is an excellent book. But John MacArthur's book, again, not new, but re-released because of his going into heaven, they sent it out, and I sat down and in a very short time read the entire book. I cannot recommend it to you too enthusiastically. It's excellent. And if you're looking for a good biblical expositional study on heaven, I recommend it to you. I said all of that to say this. I came across this on page 138 of that book, and it's just kind of a summary of what the Lord has for us in theological terminology. I will read it, I'll talk about it, I'll read it again. Listen carefully. All believers can rest in this confidence. God has already justified us in order to free us from the guilt of sin. He is now sanctifying us in order to deliver us from the corruption of sin. One day He will glorify us in order to liberate us from the very presence of sin. Now, we have three very important theological thoughts contained, not even a paragraph, in one sentence. The theological doctrine of justification, the theological doctrine of sanctification, and the theological doctrine of glorification. We are going to be justified. We're in the process of being sanctified. Someday we will be glorified and be like unto the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. When I read that, I thought, what an excellent outline for a series of sermons. What an excellent outline for a series of sermons, that if we would consider, what does the Bible say about justification? What does it say about sanctification? What does it say about glorification? Because our salvation entails all of that. It is not just a momentary accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. That is the beginning, that is the entrance, but that certainly is not the extent. All that the Lord has prepared for us, eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man, the things, plural, that God has prepared for those that love Him. So we may not be together long enough to do the whole series, but we're going to do what we can do to consider as many of these theological terms as we can in the time that we had together. In my enthusiasm, as I launched out on the first one, justification, I had it I said to Mindy, I said, boy, this would do it for at least 3 weeks. And she goes, honey, you realize you're not going to be there in succession like that. And I said, that's okay. No, so we are not going to do justification for 3 weeks. We're going to do it, try to get it in today. And I want you to listen to this statement again. From the Glories of Heaven, page 138, John MacArthur's book, he says this, and this is you. If you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, this is you. All believers can rest in this confidence. Question, are you? Are you? All believers can rest in this confidence that God has already, that's past tense, by the way, God has already justified us for a purpose in order to free us from the guilt of sin. God has not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. What a blessing to be removed from the guilt of sin. I read on. He is now, present tense, he is now sanctifying us in order to deliver us from the corruption of sin. And we are, or should be, in the ongoing process of sanctification. In one day, he will glorify us, and one day he will glorify us in order to liberate us from the very presence of sin. That is an all-encompassing capsule of what our salvation is, what is involved in our salvation. What a wonderful statement. And the songs that we have just sung have portrayed with biblical clarity the truth of the first word, justification. So we're going to begin on that here this morning. We are not going to do, as we often try to do, an exposition of one particular passage, but we're going to do a systematic overview of the word, the term, the doctrine, the theological concept of justification. We will begin in Romans chapter 3. May I invite your attention there? In Romans chapter 3, beginning about verse 20, I think, we will look there. Romans chapter 3 in verse 20. In Romans chapter 3, verse 20, it begins with the word therefore. Now, I have pointed out numerous times before, as again, I mentioned Reverend McCaskey, and he told me many years ago, when you come to the word therefore in the Bible, you need to ask, what is it there for? Okay. And what this therefore is there for is it has been leading up to the concept, the truth of justification. And now it is telling you, because of God's justification, the following is true. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh shall be justified in his sight. Why not? Because by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God, apart from the law, is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth to be a propitiation by his blood through faith to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance God has passed over the sins that were previously committed, to demonstrate at the present time his righteousness, that he might be, watch this, that he might be just, that he might be just and that he might be the justifier of one who has faith in Christ. Where is the boasting then? It is excluded. By what law of works? No, but by the law of faith. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith apart from the deeds of the law. There is such deep, rich, profound theological truth in that paragraph. We cannot possibly unfold all of that in the short time that we have here together this morning. Ages ago, in the oldest book of the Bible, Job asked this question. In Job chapter 9, verse 2, truly, I know it is so, but how can a man be just with God? But how can a man be just with God? The question first appears in chronological order anyway, in the Word of God in Job chapter 9, verse 2. Some translations will read it, but how can a man be righteous before God? It's the same idea. To be just is to be righteous. To be righteous is to be just. They are synonyms. And what we have in Job chapter 9, verse 2 is a man that is struggling with all of the weighty, painful issues of life. And he is asking before God, how am I going to be righteous before God? How am I going to be just before God? In the conversation with his friends, as we move a little further into the passage, Bildad comes along and he says the same thing. How can a man be just with God? The fact of the matter is that really ought to be everybody's question. If any question you are ever going to ask throughout life as you ponder the weighty issues of life, it ought to be, how am I going to be righteous before God? Because the righteous judge of all the earth will do right. And someday, though we may not think it now, may not realize it now, the older we get, the more we realize someday, we will stand before Almighty God. How will that fare for us? That was Job's question. That was Paul's question. That was John's question. That were many people in the Word of God's question. It was Augustine's question, Martin Luther's question, John Wesley's question, D.L. Moody's question. It ought to be our question. If there is any question that is important to be answered, it's this one. How am I going to be just, justified, or righteous before God? If you're a Christian, you know that answer. But we need to understand how that unfolds. A couple of things. The first thing we'd like to accomplish is when we're talking about the term, we ought to understand exactly what it is. So when we understand what justification is, let me give you a working definition so we're all on the same page. When we are talking about justify, our justification, our righteousness, the act of justification as the Bible unfolds it, this is the definition we are using. It is the gracious act of God in declaring righteous the sinner that believes on Jesus Christ. Now, you have to understand what justification is. It isn't everything you think it is, and it isn't some things that you think it is. What it is, theologically, doctrinally speaking, the definition is the gracious act of God in declaring righteous the sinner that believes on Jesus Christ. That is the definition. But also in the book of Romans, we have been in Romans chapter 3. If you would go now, to Romans chapter 5, a passage of scripture that immediately most of you could quote. We have the definition, the gracious act of God in declaring the sinner righteous that believes in Christ. That's the definition, but look at this declaration in Romans chapter 5, verse 1. And there again is that all important word. We have moved from Romans chapter 3, about verse 20, where it says, therefore this. Now we're over in Romans chapter 5, and in light of what's been said from chapter 3 to here, now another, therefore. Therefore, because of what I have just told you, Paul says, therefore, having been justified by faith. Therefore, having been justified by faith. If you have been justified by faith in Christ, the following is true of you. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. I looked for quite a while to try to find it and couldn't. But I remember seeing a clip years ago about someone that appeared on the Johnny Carson show. And the clip came up, and the audience was just kind of stunned, not shocked, just surprised into silence as the guests came out. And I enlisted Mindy's help, and she was none. we couldn't find, but I remember it clearly and accurately. This guest came out, and as it walked across and shook hands and sat down, Johnny Carson said something to the effect, what's going on? What are you doing? What's on your mind? And as he sat down and kind of pondered like this, he said, I've been thinking about my relationship with God. And a couple people giggled, didn't quite know what to do, and Johnny Carson sure didn't know what to do. Looked at him, where you go with that? And he sat down and he said, it's been very much on my mind. And I'll tell you what, it ought to be very much on your mind. It ought to be very much on your mind, because it is the most important issue in your life. And it is the most important question. Job asked it, Job 9:2. Bildad reiterated it. How shall a man be just with God? You have an insert. We're going to try to answer that. And we're going to do it in summary fashion. We'll attempt to answer the following three questions. I'm going to fill in the major part of the outline. We'll work through the rest of it as time allows. We'll attempt to answer these questions. Number one, what is the meaning of justification? We've already elaborated and hinted at it. What is the meaning of justification? I've given you a definition. Definitions doesn't always necessarily mean we comprehend what the definition describes. What is the meaning of justification? Secondly, what is the motive of justification? If God declares us righteous, he surely did it because he looked down from heaven's glory and said, that guy's really trying. He's really trying. You know, he's doing more good than he's doing bad. You know, is that the motive for justification? I hope not. We are of all men most miserable. What is the motive of justification? And when you understand its meaning, and then you see the corresponding motive, it is going to, I assure you, I guarantee you, it's going to enhance your peace with God. Because justification is not just a whim. Justification is based on a motive that is foundational to the character, the nature, the love, the attributes of God. And when you understand, therefore, having been justified by faith, that's wonderful. But when you see everything that is the foundation that holds that declaration up, you have great peace with God that loves you through faith in Christ. What is the meaning of justification? What is the motive of justification? And so how do we get it? Thirdly, what is the method of justification? We'll try to answer those questions as best we can. Let's start this morning with the meaning of justification. What exactly is it? I gave you the definition. Can I elaborate on that definition a little bit? I don't normally read extended passages of theological doctrinal books. Will be exception this morning. I read from Dr. John MacArthur's and Richard Mayhew outstanding book on systematic theology on page 612. 612 isn't even to half the book, so you have an idea. It's pretty okay. He asked about the nature of justification. And I read in order to answer this question. What exactly is the meaning of justification? Before examining, I quote, any particular aspect of justification, we must be clear about what the Bible teaches concerning the nature of justification itself. This is justification. Justification is a legal or forensic declaration of righteousness. Justification is a legal or forensic declaration of righteousness. Someone declares that someone is not guilty. It is a declaration of righteousness. This is important. Listen carefully. It is not an actual impartation or infusion of righteousness. To declare you not guilty in a court of law doesn't mean you aren't. You could be as guilty as sin and still be proven innocent, right? So a declaration that you're not guilty is not a guarantee or a transition or a change to make you not guilty. It just declares that you're not, and you can walk out free. Justification is a legal declaration of God's righteousness. It describes what God declares about the believer, not what he does to change the believer. In fact, justification itself affects no actual change whatsoever in the sinner's nature or character. Is that confusing? Shouldn't be. But you need to understand that justification, by nature of what it is a legal declaration that God declares you righteous. And because he declares you righteous, you do not suffer the penalty of what sin brings. I wrote down the words of a song as we were singing them, and I lost them. But he looked at Christ and pardoned me. Is that how the line goes? He looked at Christ and pardoned me. He looked at Christ, but he forgave me. You see, it didn't say I wasn't guilty, but he forgave me for the sake of someone else. So understand meaning, the basic root meaning is a legal or forensic declaration of God. Now, that we are righteous. These kinds of declarations are not as unusual as you might think. A young couple shows up at the church, want to get married. Wife and the bride and mom have been working for months and years, spending all kinds of money for this 20 to 45 minutes in the church. And they walk in. They are two individuals. They are two families, right? And they walk into that room, and they have a ceremony much pomp and circumstance. And then at one part in the service, the minister says something like this: by the power vested in me as a called and ordained minister of the gospel of Christ, and according to the laws of this state, I pronounce you man and wife. Instantly, their status changes. Instantly, they didn't do anything different. They showed up. They walked in individuals. They walked in a guy and a gal. And now, they're going to walk back down that aisle, husband and wife, because somebody who had the authority declared that they are husband and wife. That's what justification is with God. Because of his authority and because of his desire, he declares legally, you are righteous. Just because you are treated as being righteous because he had declared that you are. Another form of legal declaration that we're accustomed to, I've already alluded to, you go to a court of law and they deliberate and then they announce the verdict. The judge says, Foreman, do you have the verdict? I do. Stands up. How do you find? I find guilty or not guilty. He walks in. If he is pronounced not guilty, with that declaration, he's a free man. He may have done it. He just may have had awful good lawyers. But that doesn't say he guaranteed that he didn't do it. It's just declared that under the law, you are not considered guilty. You'll walk in this, maybe in handcuffs, maybe depending on what he was accused of. He walks in and sits down in court as the accused. But if he's pronounced by the jury as not guilty, the judge says, you are free to go. You are free to go. Do you understand that justification is a declaration? Does not necessarily necessitate or imply the transformation. It is just the declaration. When I say just the declaration, what? What a declaration. There's nobody sitting in that court that stands up when the judge says, if the defendant will stand and say whatever, when he hears the word not guilty, he goes, oh, it was just the verdict. It was the rest of his life. When we are declared righteous, when we are declared justified, it is the rest of our eternity. God no longer looks at us as one dead in trespasses and sin. The song. He looked at him and pardon me. I want to clear that up. And we'll come to that in a moment. Justification is the legal forensic act of God in declaring the sinner righteous by faith in Christ. It is not a pardon. It is not a pardon. Every 4 years, the news is filled with pardon, right? Okay? Because the president has the power to pardon people. A pardon is something that the president, a governor, or whoever has the power, just because of his authority, he can get a guy out of jail. He can set a guy free. He can do it. He says just because he has the power to do it. Justification is not that. Justification, as we will see in a moment, is the legal declaration of God that is based on something that, I use the term advisedly, carefully, listen, that allows him, to use the term that says allows God, that allows God to be the justifier and to be just in doing it, gives us a greater understanding of the love that God has bestowed upon us, that he even desires to pronounce us, declare us righteous in Christ. So the meaning of justification, as you have seen, does have legal implications theologically. Three things you want to understand. By the way, in case you're watching, point number one is a whole lot longer than point two and three. Okay, so under point number one, what is the meaning of justification? I further want to emphasize, you need to appreciate it is the work of God, not the work of man. It is the work of God, not the work of man. We are in Romans chapter 3, I believe, and let's go to Romans chapter 3, verse 26. Very important verse. Now, we are familiar with presidential pardons. We are familiar with gubernatorial pardons. And a pardon does not necessarily say the guy wasn't guilty. It just says, we're going to let him go. We're just going to let him go. We're going to pardon them. Look at Romans chapter 3, 26. I want you to notice that justification is nothing that we do. It is the act of God. In Romans chapter 3, verse 20, I will read, therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight. That simply says and clearly means there's nothing you can do. There's nothing that you can do long enough, hard enough, sincerely enough, that God will say, okay, now I'm going to justify you. You've earned my justification. You did 2%, I'll throw in the other 98. Not. In Romans chapter 3, verse 20, therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight. For by the law, it's a knowledge of sin. Verse 21 elaborates, Romans 3. But now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed. In other words, it's not a matter of you keep the law good enough, long enough, hard enough, sincerely enough. Not that. Justification is apart from the law because it's apart from you. Because there's nothing you can do for your justification because it is the act of God. And it goes on to say, we have all sinned. Therefore, verse 24, notice this, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ, whose God set forth to be a propitiation by his blood. Did not Andy last Sunday that he was here mention that word propitiation? Did he not? And did he not explain that it means the satisfaction? Propitiation, theological word, you would never use it that I know of apart from a theological doctrinal discussion. Propitiation means the satisfaction. Do you understand that the Greek translation of the Hebrew Old Testament, when it comes to the talking about the mercy seat in the Old Testament, the Greek translation of the Hebrew Old Testament, when it talks about the mercy seat, it is the word propitiation. It is the place, it is the means, it is the reason that sins are forgiven, because blood has been applied for the forgiveness of sin. When it comes to justification, when we read in verse 24, we are justified freely by his grace. It's free to us. It's free to us because it is God's grace, but it costs God everything. It cost him everything. It cost the Son of God his life on Calvary's cross. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. whom God set forth as a propitiation by his blood through faith to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance he passed over the sins that we committed in the past, to demonstrate at this present time his righteousness. See, he does this. He makes this declaration, and he does it on righteous grounds. A president can pardon nearly anybody, from what I understand, for nearly anything, from what I understand, and he doesn't have to have a legal basis or reason to do it. He just has the authority to do it. And it doesn't mean that he's right in doing it. Doesn't mean that he's just in doing it. It just means that he's legal in doing it. He's allowed to do it. And he may pardon somebody that everybody knows is guilty. He may pardon somebody because of a political favor, a personal favor, whatever. You see, the motivation of a pardon can be all blurred in anything that is not necessarily righteous or right. But when God makes this declaration, he makes no declaration that is contrary to his holy character, his righteous character. And when he says, you are not guilty, and I point at Becky, and when he said, you are not guilty, he not only does it because he has the authority, he does it in a way that he is not only the justifier, but he is just in the way that he did it. Because somebody owed that debt of sin. Somebody had to pay for all that we have done. He didn't just put it under the carpet. He justified us because Jesus paid it all. And all to him we owe. That's not in the Bible, but we sing that. Okay, so the first thing you need to understand under the meaning of justification, it is the work of God, not the work of man. Justification is an act. Is this on our outline? That ought to be helping you here. Justification is an act, not a process. Justification is an act. Just like getting married is an act. You come in, pronounce your man and wife. Boom. At that moment, in that act, you are husband and wife, as the law is concerned, community is concerned. Ever from then on, your life has changed. For better or for worse, from then on, your life is forever changed. It is an act that changes everything. But then it is not marriage, the legal aspect of marriage is not a process. The practical aspect of marriage is the process. It's a process that goes until death do we part. Justification, same way. Justification is an act. It is not a process. Sanctification is the process. Sanctification is the ongoing process. Justification is an act. Sanctification is a process. Don't get them confused or blurred. So, thirdly, under justification, it is not only the work of God, it is not the work of man. Justification is an act, not a process. And I have one more, not on your outline. Justification, in very simple terms, and you have heard it many times before, how do you paraphrase for a little kid what justification is? Justification is just as if I never sinned. Just as if I never sinned. Warren Wiersbe tells a really cool story in one of his excellent books about a millionaire that owned a Rolls Royce. And he had taken it on touring in Europe, and it broke down. And so he called the Rolls Royce representative and said, hey, I got a problem. No problem. Helicopter it out. They did whatever they needed to do. They fixed that car, had him back on the road in a very short time. He went on with his trip. And when he came home, he said, yeah, I never got a bill for that. I better see what this is all about. And so he called the representative at the Rolls-Royce dealer, supposedly a true story. He says, called the representative, said, I had a breakdown. He said, you guys flew out, took care of the car. What about the bill? And he, what's your name? And he told him, and he says, sir, we have no record of anyone ever having a problem with a Rolls-Royce. Just as if it never happened. Just as if I never sinned. That is the meaning of justification. We move quickly. Secondly, if you would notice that there is a motive for justification that we have already alluded to, and that motive for our justification is God's grace and God's love. In Romans chapter 3, again, I want to point out with clarity, in Romans 3:24, being justified freely, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ. You will notice, if you are one that appreciates that you have been the recipient of the grace of God, and if you look at grace in the Word of God, invariably it is associated with the sacrifice of Christ. There is no grace to us, but as far as our salvation, eternal well-being is concerned, apart from the sacrifice of Christ. And here's a prime example of that in Romans 3:24. Being justified freely. Freely. You know, I'm a pretty graceful guy. Not in that way. I'm a pretty graceful guy with my grandkids. You know, I went into a bike shop to get a 20-inch tube for my grandson. And he was little, and he went in, and I said, and they know me by name in most bike shops in St. Louis. And I went in to get a tube. Bruce, what do you need? I need 20-inch tube. What are you riding with 20-inch tires? I thought it's for him. And he said, yeah, I think we got that. So they went and got one. Yeah, I said, I just need one. His bike. It's going back home with him. And so he spots this little bike over here. You know, Papa. I've been wanting a black bike like this. Chris, how soon could you have it ready? And I said, he's going home tonight. He said, give me an hour. He said, I'll get it all fixed up. Yeah. I went home and told Mindy, I said, nothing more dangerous than a grandpa in a bike shop with a grandson and a credit card. And so I bought, grace, you know, great. He didn't have to do anything. He didn't have to say anything. All he had to do is, Papa, I would sure like to have. Well, he's got, you know, grace, okay? When God gives grace, He does it for a reason, because He loves us, and He does it on the merit of what Jesus did on our behalf. He is just, and He is the justifier. And if you really want to comprehend what that means, turn that around. He is the justifier, and He is just in doing it. You know, we may be extravagant. It may not necessarily be the right thing to do, the best thing to do. When God bestows grace on the merit of what Jesus did for us, it is the right thing for Him to do. And He does it in the right way, for our benefit, but more importantly, for His glory. The motive for justification is God's grace and God's love. He does it freely because of the finished work of Christ on our behalf, and bestows upon us that pronouncement that you are righteous, that you are just. Thirdly, what is the method of justification? We find that the method of justification is faith. Faith in the finished work of Christ. And of course, then we got to look at Romans 3:24 again. All of this is encapsulated in this passage of Scripture, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. That is the method of us appropriating what God freely in His grace and love wants to bestow. Then, again, I come back to Romans chapter 5. With all of that in mind, I read again, having been declared righteous, forensically, legally, a declaration of God. Therefore, having been justified by faith, what is the result of that? We have peace with God. In this last presidential election, as the previous president went out of office, as is typical of all presidents, both administrations, numerous pardons were issued. Some controversial, some expected, some unexpected. But this time it was a little bit different because the question was raised, how were those pardons signed? How were those pardons signed? Did the president actually, with his hand, sign that? Or was it the autograph or signature pen that signed? And if it was the pen that signed them, who had the authority to exercise that pen? And if it was the pen, was it in fact legal pardon after all? Interesting political, legal questions, are they not? All of this is answered when it comes to the legal, forensic declaration that God says we are not guilty. We are justified in His sight because it is freely by His grace, resulting, Romans 5:1, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God because of Jesus Christ our Lord, through whom we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Now, very quickly, and our time is gone, I need to point out that what God declares, He also defends. What God declares, He also defends. Turn over a little bit further in the book of Romans. Romans chapter 8, verse 31, and I will close just by reading this portion of the Word of God. In Romans chapter 8, about verse 29, we will read, for whom He did foreknow, He also predestinated to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, Him who He predestinated, He also called. Who He called, He justified. Who He justified, He glorified. You see that? You're justified in the process of sanctified, eventually glorified. But verse 31 is going to be our benediction. Look at verse 31. What then shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring anything to the charge of God's elect? Nobody's ever going to say, He wasn't allowed to do that. He used the wrong pen. It was not appropriate for Him. Nobody is ever going to say to God, what do you think you're doing? He said, who shall bring anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of God? shall tribulation or distress, persecution or famine, nakedness or peril, sword, as it is written, for your sake we are killed all the day long, accounted sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, powers, things present, things to come, height, depth, or any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Do you know that peace? You can have it and be justified by the legal forensic declaration of Almighty God by faith in what Jesus Christ did for you. If you will stand, I will pray. Heavenly Father, we are thankful indeed that we can know what it is to be justified and how it is it can be appropriated to us. We are thankful for your declaration. We are thankful for Jesus' sacrifice that makes it possible for us. And we are thankful for the Spirit of God that reveals it to us. In Jesus' name, amen.